Major support for The Reading Life comes from Octavia Books, an independent New Orleans bookstore. Additional support comes from the University of Louisiana Lafayette Press and the Helles Foundation. Hello and welcome to The Reading Life, WWNO's weekly look at the Louisiana literary scene. I'm Susan Larson. This week, I'll be talking with Louisiana State Librarian Rebecca Hamilton. We'll also hear from book artists Jessica Peterson and Sarah White, who have an exhibit up at Antenna Gallery's Reading Room. Rebecca Hamilton is Louisiana State Librarian. She was the youngest in the nation when she was appointed to that post in 2005. She's a Louisiana girl through and through, grew up in East Baton Rouge Parish, studied psychology and then library and information sciences at LSU. These are challenging days for libraries in general and libraries in our home state, and she has a lot to say about that. Rebecca comes to us today from the studios of WRKF in Baton Rouge. Rebecca Hamilton, welcome to The Reading Life.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, I remember the very first time we met, we were talking about those bookmobile librarians who went out there in pirogues and carriages and on horseback. And there's a real romance about being a librarian if you're a book lover, isn't there?
I think that there is. And in Louisiana, we have this amazing history of providing library service to the people, the libraries and the state library. You know, like you said, you talked about pirogues, and we got books to people by any means necessary. It's a really interesting and colorful history. And in fact, my very first job was on the bookmobile at the West Baton Rouge Parish Library. And like you said, as a reader, I was a bookmobile user, and I really got that job because they said, hey, you're on the bookmobile every week. Would you like a part-time job at the library? And that was my first library job when I was in high school.
Oh, how great. So when did you know this was the professional calling for you?
Well, I didn't right away. You know, I was finishing up high school, starting LSU, working on a degree in psychology, with the intent of doing a master's degree in social work. And that's kind of what I was working on when I took a little detour. I was doing some coursework in the social work program and struggling with it because, you know, it's hard to see people in difficult situations. And I was working at the library and really going out on the bookmobile into those rural parts of the parish and seeing such need and such love and desire to have information. And I felt like what I was doing was, in a sense, social work, but without that intense connection that I was having a hard time shaking. In other words, I'm working with people, I'm seeing them in desperate situations, and I couldn't let it go. I was bringing it home with me every night. And I started thinking, maybe this is not the profession for me. And Anna Marchafava, who was the director of the West Baton Rouge Library, said, well, have you thought about just doing your master's in library science, because you have a real aptitude for this and you've moved up here and you've been promoted. And I said, well, you know, let me think about that. And so I did. And really, it's the only job I've ever had.
So tell us about some of the duties of the state librarian. I think a lot of people don't realize that librarians have political jobs these days.
You're right, Susan, especially if you're a library director, and then my job at the state library. Those jobs can be very political. You work with a board. Libraries in Louisiana are funded by dedicated property taxes. So libraries can get, you know, anywhere. Our smallest libraries may have $500,000 budget, but our biggest libraries might have a $20 million budget. So you're responsible for taxpayer dollars, and you have a governing board, a policymaking board, who works through the parish council or police jury. So those jobs can be very political because, you know, you're always trying to do the best you can with the public money, but while, you know, doing the will of the people and the will of your appointing authorities. At the state library, it's a little bit different because we're a library that's sort of set aside for public libraries. You know, the great history is that we worked to help develop libraries in every parish. And now we play sort of a supplemental role to the libraries, and we have a bigger picture role, I guess. I'm appointed by the lieutenant governor. You know, Mitch Landrieu appointed me in 2005, and I've been lucky enough to work for Jay Darden after that and Billy Nungesser after that. And really, our job is to monitor legislation that comes along that could impact libraries and speak up if that hurts libraries or helps libraries, to bring forth legislation that libraries feel need to have in place. And then we work with the legislature for our budget within the Department of Culture, Recreation, and Tourism, where the state library sits, to get state funding that allows us to leverage federal funding from the Institute for Museum and Library Services so that we can then use that money collectively to serve all of the libraries in the state.
So you're out there fighting the good fight every day.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Now, I think of librarians and archivists as guardians of so much treasure. What are some of the special items in the state library's collection? And we should say that the state library is actually on the Capitol grounds.
It is. We're right across the street from the State Museum in the Capitol complex. So really close to the Capitol and the Pentagon barracks. And really, I feel like our most treasured items are it's the whole entire fifth floor. It's called the Louisiana Collection. And we collect anything and everything written about Louisiana or by a Louisiana author. So, you know, we're the place where the TV stations and the magazines and the TV shows from other states come and do their research. So we collect books, magazines, newspapers, maps. We have the microfilm of the newspapers and really just anything and everything about Louisiana. So I'm always saying that is our most coveted collection. And when we are cut budget-wise and we can't purchase new books, that is the one collection that I try to keep up to date, because those Louisiana books by Louisiana authors may not always be in print forever, and I don't want us to have big holes in our collection. So we've been lucky enough to limp along and keep that collection up to date, really in many ways through the efforts of authors donating their books to us so that we can have them in that collection. So to me, that's the most special thing that we have. You know, people over the years have left things to us in their will, and have authors have donated their manuscripts to us. And all of that goes in that fifth floor collection.
It warms my heart to think of all those books in one place. You know, it's just so special. So what do you think most users are looking for when they come to the state library?
Well, like I said, the state library is a little bit different from a public library, so we're geared towards state employees and elected officials, but of course the general public can come in and use us. And what we see the most are, you know, legislators doing research, and like I said, TV programs and magazines locally coming in to research, and then citizens and state employees come in very often for reference help. So they'll come to our reference desk and we'll research a question. State employees and elected officials can check out our items, but the general public very often come in and go to a computer, sit there and research, go through our collection, and they can stay all day and look as long as they want. Well, I say all day. We're only open from 10 to 2 because we've had our budget cut so much. But, you know, reference help is a big thing. But remember, we're the public library for the public library. So the average state library user really is a public library system. So they may call us to help with a reference question they can't find the answer to, and then we loan them books from our collection. We give them advice on things. So while the general public can walk in and use us, that's really what East Baton Rouge Parish Library is for, or your local public library for the average user. So we do have a special role in that we serve the public libraries as if we're their resource.
So how do you feel our libraries are doing now? I mean, they faced extraordinary challenges in the years since Katrina and financial challenges as well. When you look at the overall system throughout the state, how do you think we're doing? How do you think we stack up?
Oh, I think we measure well when you compare us to other states. We have, you know, a dedicated library system in every parish. We have libraries in Louisiana are funded by dedicated property taxes, which are usually locked in for 10 years. And so funding in Louisiana for public libraries at the parish level has always been pretty stable. It may not always be enough money. And of
right.
course, when prices go up and more services are needed and funding stays the same, then it sort of feels like a reduction in funding. But I'd say, you know, we have some amazing library directors in Louisiana. They go the extra mile. They stretch resources. They get involved in what we do on their behalf when I need them. And I would say pound for pound, we're better or as good as any state's library system.
Oh, that's good to hear. And one very special project of the State Library is the Louisiana Book Festival, which comes from the Center for the Book, which is there at the State Library.
Yes. Well, you know, that's one of my favorite things.
Yes, I do.
At the State Library, we love our work on behalf of the libraries and citizens, but this is like one thing that we get to do that's something that's just a celebration of the things that we're all drawn to, which are books and literature and readers. And so it's a day of events of authors coming to speak about their books, and it's really a celebration of something that I think in Louisiana we do really, really well. We have authors that not are just from Louisiana, but we inspire people from other places to come to Louisiana and write about our way of life because we're not like anywhere else. And so the book festival is an opportunity for us to really highlight those amazing things, positive things about Louisiana. And this year it's going to be Saturday, October the 28th.
Put that date on your calendar now, people. I mean, it's so much fun, and it's all free.
It is. And at our highest, we've had 30,000 people.
Wow.
So people really come out for it. You know, we work every year to raise awareness and make sure people know about it. It's very hard in the fall to find a weekend that's not got football going on or whatever, but it's a solid crowd every year.
Oh, it
and
is.
People that come back every year.
Well, for good reason. And there are always so many new books. It's just astounding, the literary output of this state. We've been talking with Rebecca Hamilton, who's Louisiana State Librarian. Rebecca, thank you for all the work that you do.
Thank you for having me, Susan.
Sweetest little bookworm, hidden underneath, is the sexiest librarian. Take off those glasses and let down your headphones.
So often we look at books as their forms change, ebooks, audiobooks, mass-produced volumes, and forget that making books is truly a labor of love and heart and hand. Jessica Peterson of Southern Letterpress and Sarah White of Alluvium Press are two New Orleans book artists who can tell us more about that. Both are graduates of the prestigious book arts program at the University of Alabama, who now live and work in New Orleans, and today we're talking about their show at Antenna Gallery Convergence, which runs through July 31st. Jessica, welcome to The Reading Life.
Thanks, Susan. It's great to be here.
Sarah, it's so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
So, Jessica, let's start with you. Tell us about the show that's in progress right now.
It's a show of work from Sarah and my archive of artist books that we've worked together. We both print books using letterpress printing technology on handmade paper and then do the bookbinding ourselves. And the books are called artist books because they kind of exist as artworks in a book form. They're small editions, and we work with similar conceptual themes of looking around us for histories that are in our local areas and researching those histories in archives and then putting those, what we find, into an art book or into an art context. So the work at Antenna is showcasing about like 15 different books that we've done in the last 10 years. We talked about process a lot amongst ourselves when we were putting the show together. So we have examples of the processes that we were working on when we were making the paper and developing the content and doing the printing. And you can go to Antenna and see the books themselves and touch them, as well as look at pages that we've laid out under glass so that you can get an idea of the content without having to read all 15 books that are on display there.
Do we have to wear little white gloves?
No, the books that we put for people touching, we want really people to actually be able to touch them.
They do feel good.
Yeah. We also have books that are not artist books that inspired our books. So we have like kind of a reading library of different books.
Now, I noticed that a lot of the books you do with Alluvium Press, mm-hmm. you're inspired by the physical landscape. So
yes.
I wonder if you talk about your book, Riverine. I love that word so much.
Sure, me too. That's the last book that I completed. I finished it last year. It was the result of about a year or so of research on the landscape called the Batcher in New Orleans. If you're not familiar, the Batcher, I think the dictionary defines it as a river or seabed raised to the surface. So it's kind of got this contradictory, unique sort of aspect to it. It's sort of always fluctuating between water and land. And in the Riverbend area near the Jefferson Parish line, there are about 12 homes that still exist on the Bachelor today. And it's always been one of my favorite spots in the city to visit. So I started doing research while I was in school in Alabama into kind of the history of communities that have existed on the Bachelor, and discovered, mostly through Times-Picayune articles, that there used to be hundreds of homes on the Orleans Parish side, so on the other side of the 12 homes that currently exist. And these people were evicted in the 1950s. They were living there legally, but the levee needed to be expanded, so they were all sort of kicked out of their homes, and the structures were destroyed, etc. So I spent some time in a small archive at Tulane called the Bachelor Dwellers Association Archive.
Oh my gosh.
Just a single box full of about 10 folders. But there happened to be a booklet in one of them called These Were Our Homes. So they'd actually made a book themselves about, you know, the eviction and what was going on, just to kind of get the word out in the city. And they sold them for $1 a piece. So I really wanted to incorporate that into the artist book that I would make. So a lot of the photos that are printed throughout the book are from that book.
Oh, what a treasure.
Yeah.
Oh, so how did you get interested in book arts? I mean, Jessica, you told me that you made a book when you were very young and you were hooked. You knew you were going to do that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm really lucky that I'm somebody who found what I really loved doing very early in life, and I've been able to do it and pursue it. I think about this all the time, but I can't describe what it is about the book form and the process of flipping through pages that it really touches a part of me that is without words. And so when I learned how to make books and print books, it is a place without words for me that describes the feelings that I feel when I do it. And I just had a baby this year, and I've been introducing him to books and watching him like learn how to use books. And I'm like, this is exactly the kind of things that relate to why I love books, that his natural instinct is to open the book and turn the pages. I think there's something like inherently and fundamentally human about the processes of bookmaking and the processes of reading. So,
oh, that gives me goosebumps.
Yeah,
that's so much fun.
Yeah.
Ah, but you're a Rochester girl.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah,
here you are,
yeah,
in New Orleans with Southern Letterpress.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Let's hear about that.
I'm serious Yankee. I've only lived in the South for 10 years, and my family was really horrified when I moved to Alabama to study in the book arts program there and just stayed in Alabama. The southern part of the United States has a folklore and history and pace that I appreciate, and I also really don't like winter, so that's how I ended up. I called the Southern Letterpress because I was given the space to operate for my first location in Columbus, Mississippi, in a newspaper office. It was a paper that had started in like 1850. So I was looking for a way to be relevant to the town and the community that that print shop was in. So I ended up calling it the Southern Letterpress. But now it has become that I'm like a Southern Southeast Letterpress, which is funny because I am a Yankee. People call and talk to me and they're like, you're not from the South.
So Sarah, what's your story? How did you get interested in book arts?
Well, similarly, I grew up really loving books, too. I also really liked collecting things in general. I wanted to be an archaeologist. I was always kind of like digging around for treasure and liked the idea of archives and looking through old photographs and that kind of thing. And that got me interested in art, and I pursued an art degree at Loyola in undergrad, and that's where I learned about letterpress printing. And beyond college, I just worked in multiple used bookshops for years and slowly started doing more printing with a local printer in town, John Fitzgerald, actually.
Oh, yes.
And then I went to the paper and book intensive, and that's where I met Jessica. And that's kind of an artist book and
it's like
conservation.
Summer camp,
and,
isn't it?
Yeah, librarians, all book types are there. So I felt like I had landed on my home planet when I was there. It was really cool. And that's what sparked my going to the University of Alabama.
Oh, that's great. Oh. So Jessica, you have some classes coming up that you want to talk about as well.
Yeah, because Sarah and I were working with putting this exhibition together, I offer classes in letterpress and simple bookbinding in my studio regularly, but I really wanted to offer some classes in artist bookmaking. I think making artist books is a really great way to kind of expand your creativity or expend your creative energy. A lot of other art forms, if you're not familiar with them, you might be a little intimidated by learning about them. Like if you take a drawing class, people are always like, oh, I can't draw, so I'm not going to take a drawing class. But with bookmaking or art, especially artist bookmaking, anybody who can like use their scissors and thread and glue can make an artist book. And you can really use it, any kind of content to make those books. So I have a class on August 5th about altered books, which is when you start with a found book and you manipulate the content to make an art project or an art book at the end of it. And then there's a class on September 9th that's about developing creative ideas for different artist books. So if you've ever been interested in making an artist book, you could take that class, and it's kind of a springboard. We're going to be making about 5 different book ideas that you could then take home and expand upon to make your own artist books.
I love the idea of an artist book explosion.
Yeah.
Exploding books everywhere. Now, when people come for the altered book class, do they bring the book they want to alter, or do you have books there? Or?
I'm going to have a pile of books for people to choose from. Sometimes it's better to start with a book that you don't have, because it can be intimidating to start with a book that you have that you love, that you've thought a lot about as a springboard. But you can bring your own used books, or you can take from the pile that I'll have. I haven't done an altered book in a couple of years, but the last one I did, I think I had a really old, very thick copy of King Arthur's Tales, and I manipulated it to kind of be an interpretation of how women's roles in marriage and domestic life using the text of the King Arthur legends. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, if you're a writer or an artist, you can really get a lot out of altering existing texts and books.
And it's so interesting to see what artists are doing with reference books, like some of those old encyclopedias and dictionaries that people think, what are these good for? And they become fabulous art.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, Sarah, how do you find the book arts community in New Orleans? Do you find it supportive? Do you think good things are going on right now?
Definitely. So I had moved away for school in 2013, and there was really kind of a lack, I felt, of that sort of community at the time. I could be wrong, but I wasn't aware of it as much. But it seemed that while I was away, more and more printers and book artists and book people in general started flocking to New Orleans, including Jessica. And there are organizations like SIFT, which stands
Sequence, Image, Form, Text.
Exactly.
Yes.
Which is headed up by Angela Driscoll. And I'm a member of that now. So that's a great example of kind of a community-oriented book arts group that organizes studio visits with various artists in town dealing with paper or book arts in some way. And these events are, I think, every third month of the year. So we do have one this month.
That's exciting. And anybody can join? Anybody who's interested in book arts?
Anybody can come to the studio visits. Ah, definitely.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Are you open to absolute beginners in these classes, Jessica? Are you?
Yes, anybody can come. And I think that's another great thing about making books or exploring artist books is that the people who become book artists always start off as beginners. There's no like grand process or school that you go to become like an excellent book artist. So I actually really enjoy doing book arts with really young kids or high school kids, because you give them the book form and show them what the possibilities are, and then they take it and run with it, and they come up with these things where they're amazing projects where they've really put amazing content on the pages about things that people don't usually make books about. So I encourage everyone to come, and yeah, it's definitely open to beginners and anyone who's interested. And I wanted to add about New Orleans and the book art scene that I lived in Alabama for like 10 years where there is a book arts program there, but that's really the only book resource place that you know about, and it's a very small program. So when I was coming to New Orleans on vacation a lot, and when I kept on hearing about more and more of the book arts resources, and when I moved here I was like, this is a utopia of artist books and book interested people. And then I like heard your show and I was like, there's even like an NPR show about books. I mean, to me it was an amazing place. One of the main reasons I moved here was to be part of the book community here. And when Sarah moved back, I was so glad, because she had talked about some of the resources that she had found here. And
we should mention that we're also a part of a group called Typothete.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a great name.
It's letterpress centered. So we'd share booths with other letterpress printers in town and do art markets and things like that. So
great.
Keep your eyes peeled for that. And then Baskerville is another really great resource for anybody who's interested in book art classes in town.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We've been talking with book artists Sarah White and Jessica Peterson. You can see their exhibit Convergence on view at the Antenna Reading Room, 3718 St. Cloud Avenue through July 31st. possibly a little longer, we hope. And for more information about classes in book arts, go to thesouthernletterpress.com for registration and tuition information about classes, or email jessica@thesouthernletterpress.com. Thanks so much, you two.
Thank you.
Here's what's on tap in the literary life this week. Today's guests, book artists Sarah White and Jessica Peterson, have their work up in an exhibit, Convergence, on view at the Antenna Gallery Reading Room, 3718 St. Claude Avenue. It's there through July 31st. And check out class offerings in book arts at southernletterpress.com. The Hill Memorial Library at LSU has a fascinating exhibit, Paper Tigers and Biblio Beast, featuring works focusing on the relationship between humans and other animals, as documented in the rare books, photographs, historical documents, and print materials in the LSU Library Special Collections. It's free and open to the public and runs through September 16th. For directions and hours of operation, visit lib.lsu.edu/special or call 225-578-6544. Novelist Julia Glass reads Roman Signs, A House Among the Trees, Tuesday, July 25th at 6 at Octavia Books. Poets Gina Ferrara, whose most recent book is Fitting the Sixth Finger, and Jorge Arula, author of Silent Longing, read and discuss their work Tuesday, July 25th at 7 at the East Bank Regional Library in Metairie. James Nolan signs Flight Risk, Memoirs of a New Orleans Bad Boy, Thursday, July 27th at 6:30 at the Alvar Branch Library. Sarah Essex Bradley signs Dog Decor, Canines Living Large, Saturday, July 29th at 1 at Octavia Books. Saturday, July 24th from 2 to 4 p.m. is the finale party from the summer reading program. Celebrate all the books you read. All ages are welcome at this event at the Alvar Branch Library. John Bicknell discusses and signs Lincoln's Pathfinder, John C. Fremont and the Violent Election of 1856, Sunday, July 30th at 2 at Garden District Bookshop. Poet Irving Green III reads from his work, followed by an open mic, Sunday, July 30th at 3 at the Maple Leaf Bar. One Book, One New Orleans joins with Pirate Sally Faulkner Society to celebrate their 2017 selection, Counting Descent by Clint Smith, and unveil their fall schedule of community events. Poets Bill Lavender, Melinda Palacio, and Gian Smith will read from Counting Descent at this event Sunday, July 30th at 2 at the Cabildo. Larry Correa signs Monster Hunter Siege, Monday, July 31st at 6 at Garden District Bookshop. All through July, the search to find the popular children's book character Waldo is on again at Uptown area businesses. Get a passport at Octavia Books and find Waldo in his red and white striped shirt with his dog Woof on vacation. He'll be at Uptown businesses like Toast, Angelique, Dad Dog, Hanson Snow Blitz, The Magic Box, Britannia Theater, Scriptura, and many others. Get your passport stamped, and the search ends with a party with prizes Sunday, July 30th at 2 at Octavia Books. Coming up in early fall, the Diana Pinkley Prizes for Crime Fiction will be presented Friday, September 8th at 6 at the NIMS Fine Arts Center at the Academy of Sacred Heart, 4301 St. Charles Avenue. The winner for Distinguished Body of Work is Canadian novelist Louise Penny, and the winner for Debut Novel is Trudy Nan Boyce of Atlanta for Out of the Blues. This is a ticketed event. Tickets are available at Octavia Books or octaviabooks.com and will be exchanged for a copy of Louise Penny's new book, Glass Houses, at the event. Major support for The Reading Life comes from Octavia Books. Additional support comes from the Christwood Retirement Community, the University of Louisiana at Lafayette Press, and the Hellas Foundation. The theme song and end music for The Reading Life are by Matt Perrine and Sunflower City. The Reading Life is produced by Jenny Lawson and is a production of WWNO. You can listen to us anytime or subscribe to our podcast at wwno.org. And you can email us at thereadinglife@wwno.org. Thanks for listening and keep reading.